Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome everyone to another episode of Access All Areas with me, Stephen Langan. And once again, we are joined by the very lovely Bobby Norris.
I'm so glad to be back. Honestly, I'm having the best time doing this.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. And I believe you'll be with us for the next few weeks.
I am really excited. You've got me for a little while yet. And so excited to spend the next few weeks with you all. And awesome. Speaking to our amazing guests, and today we've got another incredible week lined up.
This is like the girl power episode, I think. Like we are going full out today. We've got I'm going to say porn star because that is what she would call herself, Sophie Anderson, and she is. So Sophie Anderson up first, and then we have Courtney Act, Big Brother winner, Drag Race aficionado. And then Geordie Shore's Chloe Ferry. So it's quite a lineup today, isn't it?
We've definitely got a three strong interviews lined up, and I'm so
definitely.
Excited. Since I found out our guest, I was like, oh my God, it's going to be a good one.
I mean, better be.
100%. I mean, we always do have that. We always have the most amazing guests on here.
Yeah, we have been blessed during lockdown in particular to have some brilliant guests. But anyway, how have you been? I'm having a little chat just before the show now, weren't we? And been seeing your Instagram stories is not a nice place at the minute.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's been a strange few days over on social media. A lot of people might know already that for about 18 months I've been campaigning to kind of make a change with trolling and online abuse. And the last, as I say, few days maybe, it's got so dark and so bad. Like the videos and images I'm being sent with my head photoshopped onto, like I won't go into too many details, but it's kind of quite a traumatic thing to see yourself like laying in a coffin or hanging from a rope or someone holding a gun to your head. And I've kind of been sharing on my story because I want people to know. I'm really realistic. I know it's not just me going through this. And I feel because I do have a platform and a profile, it's really important for me to emphasise why I do campaign to make a change to trolling on it, because it's so detrimental to people. It can affect people's mental health. And social media can be the most amazing place and such a great tool. Like we can connect to people all around the world. And it as a whole, when used properly, it's a great thing. But the dark side of it is dark. And it's just been, it's been awful. Like it's really, really hard to see.
I certainly can't imagine what it's like to see the kind of images I've seen that you've been reposting. Has anyone said to you that you shouldn't be reposting them or like suggested that, because with trolls, there's a lot of, they're looking for a lot. Sometimes I assume they're looking for the air of publicity, aren't they? Do you think that
not about this. They haven't. That they've basically, I think, everyone can see why, because the severity of this is like next level. This is, I've never experienced or seen anything of this severity.
And it's really sustained, isn't it? It's like, it's constant.
From waking up to going to sleep, it's boom, boom, boom. It's constant. It's not slowing down. It's not giving up. And I feel like if I don't share them, and don't get me wrong, there's been a few, and what I have been sharing on my stories have been bad enough. Like they're dark, they're traumatic, they're awful. There's been a few that I feel so, shocked, traumatized even from what I've seen, that I'm just like, you know, I can't, it can't be shared. But I just want people to know that A, it's not acceptable, and also that I know that this seems to be a massive hate crime. This is very much about me being a gay man. And this is all about, like, every most of them, they're coming in, it's all about kill the LGBT, gay this, gay that. And I just want anyone out there to know, like, do not listen. As hard as it is, and I know how hard it is, it's awful. We've got to stay strong. We're not going to let them win. So I'm not going to come off social media. I'm not going to delete my account. I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do. And we should all be proud of who we are, you know?
Wise words, I think. It's like, it's a, Yeah, it's a really unbelievable thing that's happening to you. And I think, you know, you're dealing with it in a very mature and responsible way. And I think kudos to you, because I couldn't handle it. I'd be straight off. There's absolutely no way I could deal with any of that. So, I mean, yeah, it's a tough one. So well done, I think.
Thank you.
And also, I think you're right. Keep up the fight. And hopefully, eventually, Instagram will listen.
Fingers crossed.
Remains to be seen.
And I just want to say a quick thank you to everyone who has, because I've had so many messages, and obviously I've not been able to reply to all of them, but I have been trying to see a few. Thank you so much for everyone who's kind of been getting in touch, and everyone who's been so kind, whether that's in the comments or been responding to the stories. So just thank you, every single person. And I am trying to read as many as I can, but I am grateful when I can see that there's a lot of support there, and that's lovely.
There really is, and I think in the grand scheme of things, the support that you have will hugely outweigh any of the negative comments and videos and all that you're getting. But it's obviously hard to see that when you're going through it at the time. I can appreciate it. A difficult thing, but we shall move on to some lighter news. Well, maybe lighter in the showbiz sense, but not for the person involved. I don't know if you've seen Kanye West and his bid for president and all that's come out around that. What have you made of that?
Well, from what I'm seeing of it, I've seen a couple of clips and I've been seeing a few little articles. I hear that Kim's not very happy. So has he allegedly come out and said that they was debating whether to have an abortion with North?
With North. Yeah. And I think that wasn't public knowledge. So no. For him to say it in a room full of people and journalists, and, you know, it's even been on like the BBC News. Like, it's not just like showbiz circles, you know what I mean? This is like a big deal. And then he's gone on to claim that Kim is trying to get him like medical help, and he, like, all these tweets he's been putting up and then deleting. He lives on a ranch in Wyoming, and apparently Kim was on her way there with a doctor, but rumor has it is that he's bipolar and refuses to take any medication. So it sounds like and looks like he could be in the middle of a episode, like a manic episode. It's fascinating to watch, because he's obviously got such a huge platform, but it's also I feel bad for Kim, you know what I mean? Having to like have that kind of stuff like broadcast in public, you just wouldn't you?
I can only imagine the Kardashian WhatsApp group popping off when they started hearing about that, and then the phone calls, because Kim's not going to be happy about that. Like you say, it's not public knowledge. Is it something we probably need to know? Probably not.
No.
And I think he does run this risk. If he wants to be taken serious in politics, I think he's going to have to be very careful about how much of his personal life he's going to talk about. Kind of keep it more to the job, you know, and keep it politics. But again, Chris, I can't imagine she's going to be a happy mother-in-law right now when he goes around there for Sunday dinner next week.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the most cheerful of places.
No.
But I mean, I think realistically, I say this as Donald Trump is president, but I think realistically it's pretty unlikely that he could do as much as Donald has, because he doesn't have the support of a political party. So I think that, you know, he's running as an independent, if he's even running.
Which makes it almost worse, though, because if he's kind of spilling all this tea and family secrets
for nothing,
and there is no real chance of anything coming of it, I mean, in a way, there's going to be a lot of people that's kind of just sat there, like, rubbing their hands, thinking, right, just keep giving us the goss. This is like a behind the scenes of things that we don't see on Keith.
Yeah, you
know? I mean, what's going to happen next? We could find out all sorts, but I can imagine that Chris and Kim was on that phone to the jet, trying to get that jet sorted, and like, we need to talk. But
horrible.
People don't care if Kim leaves him because she's gave him North or something like that, allegedly.
Yeah, he did. He said that if Kim divorces him, he understands, and that it's okay because, yeah, he's got North. Not forgetting all the rest of the children that they had together. Yeah. Like, I mean, they've got five, haven't they? Four or five.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure if any of the other kids were listening later on in life, they're not going to be too pleased about that. As North, I imagine, wouldn't be too pleased either. Mm. Once you've said it, it's out there forever, isn't it?
Exactly, especially when that's your family, you know, you're talking big time. And I just hope, I hope he's all right. And moving forward, I think this is going to be a story that we see grow and grow over the next few weeks and months.
I think you're right. Well, the American politics anyway, so with him kind of thrown into the mix, it's going to be an odd one. On a slightly lighter note, did you see the pictures of Princess Beatrice's wedding over the weekend, her little secret wedding that she had last week?
Did it all on the DL, didn't she?
Yeah, I was super impressed that they actually managed to keep it a secret. That seems to me to be very impressive that it didn't leak out at all.
No, I know. I thought exactly the same when I thought, gosh, that's well and truly been under the hush-hush. But I think, because of her, what's that thing called? Her, not heir to the
status?
Throne.
Line of succession.
That's the word, yeah, the succession. Yeah. Because where she is on that, I'm guessing that we weren't all going to get the day off like we did when it was Kate and Will.
No.
That was a big old thing. And even when it was Harry and Meghan. But this was just a little bit more low-key. A couple of olivants, I'm guessing there was.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. It's a couple of nice prawn volleys. And a champagne fountain. I'm sure that would have...
And a prawn ring.
Delicious. But she actually looked really nice, I thought, as well.
She did.
Because she's kind of well-known for not always making the best fashion choices for a woman in her early 30s. And she looked really nice in the Queen's like vintage dress and the tiara. I mean, it was like a £500,000 tiara, so I'm sure anyone would look nice in it, but maybe your eyeball would look nice in that.
Well, I think we really would. And if she's done with it now, because I reckon she's the kind of girl that won't wear the same thing twice, mm-hmm. we could share it.
I'd be more than happy to. Although I would probably sell it, to be honest, if I had half of that. I would probably I'll take the cash, please, Your Majesty.
You'll get the selfie, get it for Instagram.
Good.
And then you get on eBay.
That's exactly it. I will hire a wedding dress and do a full photo shoot. So I'm like... I mean, I might not look my best in a wedding dress, but who knows? You know, never know what might
You'll
come
be stunning.
are you a Grease fan, Bob, as in the film?
Oh, through and through. I must have seen it 37 times.
Really? I haven't actually ever seen it. I know all the songs, but I know this continues to shock people. I'm really crap with films, but apparently they're making a prequel. So like a before story I was reading just before we came on.
Oh, I don't feel happy about
no,
that.
No, no.
I tried doing a Grease 2 and that never paid out.
Weirdly, I have seen part of Grease 2, but I haven't seen Grease. It's got, what's her name? Grease 2 is... not Claudia Schiffer, it's... Michelle Pfeiffer, yeah. So I've seen a clip of that, and I mean, yeah, it does look dreadful, but...
It's 2 hours of your life you'll never get back. I mean, Grease itself, it's iconic. It's up there. You have to watch it at some point. I mean, I'm in shock, Steve, but you know, there's a few films where people say that to me, so I'm glad it's just not me, because I'm not big on films.
Yeah, me neither.
I find a series and TV and stuff, but watching films, I'm not very good at, but... That was like part of my childhood. So because of how the sequel is, I have zero faith in the prequel. Plus it's got a cast in it, because otherwise it's like they've done a Benjamin Button and they started off older and they've got younger.
I don't think you're going to have John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John reprising their roles. Although they could do what Dick Van Dyke did in the Mary Poppins sequel and have like play a different character or something like that. That might be funny.
I don't know. I think sometimes you have to know when something's a hit, and let's face it, Grease is out there. It's iconic. Do you know what? Sometimes let it be. You don't mess about with it. When it's done, it's done. I think some things don't try and.
It's not. I don't. To be honest, I can't imagine. It's a bit like Sex and the City 2 or any of those kind of like. Sometimes you know, leave it where it is, and I think. But yeah, like you said, know when you've kind of overexposed something and it's not necessary to carry on. But I mean, still, I'm sure it'll be interesting. We'll wait and see whether or not it pulls off.
I'm on tinder hooks. We'll go and watch it together.
All right, well, I'll go to the premiere.
We'll go to the prem.
And then sneak it halfway through and go to a pub or something. That'd be nothing.
Yeah, one of us can wear the tiara for the red carpet.
Now we are talking, Bob. Now we are talking. I believe we have our first guest, Sophie Anderson, ready to come in. It's very exciting.
Amazing.
Oh, hello. How are you, Sophie?
Here she is.
How are you? I'm great.
We're so excited to have you on. You are a legend of 2020.
How you been keeping, babe?
Oh, babes, I'm good. I've just finished with my dildos, so just having a little play.
I mean, how long have you been doing that for? I mean, I've been working all afternoon. I haven't had time to faff around with my dildos.
I'm telling you, it's been all afternoon.
Oh, you've had a lovely old day then.
Yeah, Bill and Ted are well used.
How have you named them? Is that what they're called, Bill and Ted?
Babe, you got to name your dildos. Do you know what?
And what's the difference between Bill and Ted? Bill and Ted.
Well, the thing is, one of them is a little bit bigger, and that one's Ted. So I just know they're just like they're great. They've got smiley faces and everything.
Oh, cute,
cute, cute! Like take them to bed, have a little cuddle.
No, that's what I'm saying.
How has lockdown been for you?
Well, I'm back to it now, babe. So I'm literally the past couple of weeks, I've been filming again. I've been seeing clients again. So it's really, really great. But I tell you what, the first 2 weeks was like a holiday. I was like, gee, this is actually really great, like being at home. And then I was like, third week? Yeah. I was starting
getting
to
a bit bored.
It then. Yeah. And I thought, are you serious? Is this all it's going to be, you know?
Forever.
So I was like, oh, man. And it did drag on a bit, but it was a totally, like, with, I just, like, totally boosted my OnlyFans. That's what I did. I totally boosted it. I was just doing loads more at home, loads more Skype calls, loads more kind of, like, custom videos, all that type of thing. So it was great. It was great in that way to really kind of, because I'm here, there and everywhere all the time, and that's how I like it. I love being busy, you know, I love getting the dick, I love getting the pussy, you know, I love it, you know. But it was actually quite nice to kind of focus in a bit and go, actually, I've got that one thing that I need to work on, and it totally boosted it.
That's really good.
Just because I was going, right, I'm this is all I've got, and I got to get up and I got to still work and everything. Because I don't know if you guys found it, but I was like, it was having that discipline. And I was like usually I've got everything wrote out in my, well, on my phone, in my diary. And I thought, actually, this is a bit weird. I'm having to get motivated to like go on Skype or do videos, still put the makeup on without going to have to having to go and see people. And you're like, okay. So then I ended up going to bed like till not like 4 in the morning, not getting up till 2. I'm like, how is this working? Because before I was getting up at 6 and going to bed about 11. And it's like, what is going on? And I'm telling you what, I still haven't properly got back into routine yet.
Really?
Not at all. Yeah. I'm still going to bed around about 2 o'clock. But it's been like jet lag.
Yeah, I bet. Like, yeah.
What? Yeah. This is like so weird. And it's been like 2 weeks now. And it's still like, come on.
You'll get there eventually. We all
so
did.
True. But do you know what I've also noticed is talking about kind of the mental health side of things is the fact that it's like there was only one thing in my life which I had, and that was food. And I was like, wow, I'm literally going to that. And I don't know how many people have said this as well, but I'm literally going to that fridge every 2 hours. And it's like, hey, there's the same food in there. Yeah. You know, you just go into the fridge, you still got those sweets there that you're sick of eating all the time, you know? And it's still like going, maybe I'll go out and go and get some. So I go around the little corner shop, you know, walking up there. Babe, come on. You know, I'm usually eating dick and pussy. So it's like, this is a bit different for me.
Different kind of calorie intake for you there. I do have a question. So, you know, well, Bob and me are both openly gay men, and you know, we live our lives how we do. But, like, for instance, I am not the most sexually confident of people. How did you become as confident as you are? Or would you say you're confident? Is it that, or is it something else?
No, do you know what? Is the fact that it's actually, so I'm 32, and do you know what? I was not confident at all until I was like, fuck it. When I was 30, about 2-3 years ago, I was like, do you know what? So I've been escorting since I was 16, you know, from massage parlours right up through. And I was like, I need to change something in my life. And I was always very, very confident, kind of like going out to get guys, going out to get women, you know, going out to get FTMs and MTS. I was just like, I love everyone. So I knew that I was pansexual. I knew I was very sexual, but you're so right. I did not have that confidence at all. And it was really, really, it was actually going to my family and saying that I want to do porn, to get myself on the camera, to then give myself and my character that confidence.
Okay.
That was what did it. It was getting out onto camera and going, do you know what, actually now, and finding Twitter and finding people who, like you said, aren't so confident, which has actually boosted my own confidence, go, do you know what, fuck it. You're so right. Every single one of you, my followers on Twitter, you're so right. You know, just go out and do what you want. And literally, see, it's only been 2 years ago that that's definitely happened. Before then, I was very secretive with my escorting. I was very secretive going to like swingers clubs, all of that, because I did it in my private life. But I was very like, oh, judged. People are going to judge me. If anyone finds out, they're going to judge me. And this was the thing as well. I had to keep things quiet for my son because he's 13. I didn't want any problems with him at school. So we all sat, my family and me, that's my dad, my sister and my son, we all sat down. This was before I wanted to come out on film. And I said, you know what? I'm really fed up. The more stress of it was actually trying to stay secretive. And
it's like coming out. Like, the lying is more problematic than the truth.
that is so true. And do you know what? I was on antidepressants. And all it was doing, I was trying to suppress my own sexual freedom. And then I was like, do you know what? I can't do this anymore. I'm either going to be dead and buried because I can't cope with the fact that I got to stay secret. And, you know, quite a few times I was on the brink of, like, fuck it, I can't do this life anymore. And it was like I said, it was only until I came out on film and I was like, I gotta be a fucking ambassador. I gotta get out and I'm gonna fucking do it. I'm gonna be myself. And that's where it came from.
What did your dad say when you sat him down and said, I want to now move into porn? What was his reaction?
Oh, babe, so do you know what? He knew about me doing the escorting because I've always been, we have such a close relationship. So I was very upfront with him. And I said, you know, all along my kind of journey in the sex industry, he's been there and he knew. And it's great. It's great. And that's going to be the same because he's had that attitude with me. I want the same attitude with my son. You know, we were so open. And you know what? I want my son to explore his own sexuality, you know. And if he came out to me, whatever he is, I'd be so supportive. And I think it's really, really important for having someone in your life who understands, whether that's a parent, a friend. But how good is that? But I've had my dad as that person.
Yeah, because really
he's been there through my whole life. Friends I found can be very judgmental. I don't have a lot of friends. I have a lot of like Twitter followers who I class as like my crew and my people. And that's why I said before, the LGBT community is a family to me. Growing up at school, I found it very difficult because I knew I was different. And that was a real difficult time and never really fit in. And again, not just with coming to like open out, literally born. But definitely finding the LGBT community who welcomed me and Rebecca in, it was just amazing. And I was like, fuck, I've actually found people who are just like me. And
that's
so awesome.
I will have to say you're definitely one of the only porn performers who I follow on Twitter, because if I'm at work and it comes up on my Twitter feed, someone might have some questions as to what's going on there. But you're very positive about it. And I think that's what most people, and you're also not like, you're not arrogant, and it's actually really lovely to see that it's not, people that work in the porn industry aren't all one thing, and you're kind of proving that.
So true. And the thing is as well, is I do find porn, like you said, pretty much like that kind of porn stars are supposed to kind of be a certain way. And I'm also, me and Rebecca, like I was saying to this to Rebecca the other day, is I'm a bit of a strange one, and which is a great thing, you know. And the fact is that I find sex so fucking funny. You know, I do. I just like, you know, it can be so serious. And I think as well that from an outsider's view, is that porn stars are supposed to be a certain way. Like you said, can give the image of being quite stuck up and quite like, oh yeah, look at me, you know, all of this, I've got all of this, you know. And for me, it isn't like that. I think what it is because of my own kind of insecurities and the fact that I have gone through things mentally, you know, because it hasn't always been easy in doing, like being in the sex industry. It can be, because the life is so evolved around money, it's a lot of, you know, especially in my early days, it was a lot of chasing that money, especially for my partying and all that type of thing. And it isn't until I've kind of reached my 30s, you're kind of like, right, okay, I need to be a bit more sensible now, babe, you know?
definitely.
I'd say that COVID has affected the sex in porn industry. Has it had a knock-on effect?
Yeah, and do you know what I saw as well, which I think is awesome, is a lot more people, especially on Twitter, is a lot more people joining OnlyFans. So what it meant was, and I think this is great, is the fact that porn stars, and let's say people who are in the sex industry who are already on OnlyFans, we got to step up our game.
Because, competition.
And I think that's great. Because it also showed, you know, even from, let's say, OnlyFans subscription prices, I mean, I keep mine quite low anyway, because what I do is I have the subscription price, and then I have all my videos on there that I put on every day, but I then charge extra, let's say, like dick pic ratings, custom Skype, which I know a lot of girls do too. So it was that way, like, do you know what? I'm going to have to, like I said, step up the game. I need to put more content on there. I need to promote more. I need to really, really work on things. I set up like a little, I don't have a big room, but I set up a little studio kind of area at home. So it's all things like that. But I've got to make my shit like better. I really got to make those pictures better to entice the customers in. Good thing.
Yeah, I saw you getting into some discussions about I've forgotten his name, but this straight for pay issue. So obviously gay for pay has been like a big thing in the porn industry for a long time.
I'm so glad you brought that up as well, because, you know, I know straight for pay has been there for quite a few years. Actually, it was, I think, one of the first scenes with that was actually with Chi-Chi. So it's been around for quite a while, but me and so I went to Stephen's house, and there was a lovely guy there as well. He was bi-curious, and then we have Stephen. He's gay, and so the thing was is that what we wanted to do, and especially Stephen came to me, so it wasn't me kind of, as some people have said, coercing him to be straight. That's not what it was all about. It was basically saying that, do you know what? There isn't any boxes. You know, if someone is gay, that's right. They love cock, you know, and that's it. You know, they see guys, you know, and that's what they, that's who they are. And that's what their sexuality is. And what Stephen wanted to do, and he came to me, was that he wanted to do a scene with a girl. And I thought, well, that's fucking great. I went up for that. And he wanted to do straight for pay. I was like, he said, look, I'm not interested in you sexually. He said, how do you find that? And I said, fucking hell, that's what porn is, baby. And that's it, you know? And that's the thing, it's breaking down those stereotypes that gay guys can't have sex with women. And I do understand, though, there is a difference between... So, for Stephen's point of view, if he was enjoying it and he fancied me and we were, you know, in that way, we were really connecting... Not that I don't connect with people, but if we were really connected, fancying each other, you're going to, let's say, see me, then I would say yes. Yeah, he's like having, let's say, what people say is bisexual or pansexual, you know? But that wasn't the case. We did a scene, we called it straight for pay. From Stephen's point of view, he doesn't have any sexual feelings towards me or anything. We are doing it for a scene. And I think that's awesome. So we got loads and loads of positive comments. Don't get me wrong, it's been awesome. I've been replying to people in DMs. And I tell you what, I must admit, by Sunday, I was feeling like pretty like worn out. Because the thing is with me was I do like replying to people. And yes, I always start, like, I know Stephen has got a real kind of negative response, and I do get that. I do get that. From reading the comments, what I didn't want that to be is, let's say, for me to go, I'm gonna make this guy straight, because that, you know, that's what I'm gonna do. You know, that's my
I think
you know I celebrate all sexualities. Like, how can I do that when I myself I'm pansexual? So it's like
I think you did a really good job of it. I have to say that was because it's a new thing for a lot of people. I'd never really heard straight pay before. So well done.
Can I just ask quickly one thing? Really good to get your feedback from both of you. What's your kind of view on kind of the videos that I put out and me and Stephen put out? I really like your honest opinion. Because we did have a lot of negativity there.
I don't see, if you want to do it, then I don't see what the problem is. It really makes no difference. If you, two consenting adults doing whatever they want to do, seems fine by me.
Yeah, because the main thing is I would never ever do anything to hurt the gay community.
No, I didn't.
You know, I would never do anything like that. So it's great to hear from you guys what you actually think, and if you were offended.
The guys love you, babe. You ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sophie. Really appreciate you coming on.
I love you guys so much, and take care of yourselves, my
girls. You too.
Bye bye.
Bye, love you too.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
Oh, bless her.
She is a force to be reckoned with, isn't she?
Isn't she just?
Shall we get Courtney in? Because I believe she's ready, willing, and able.
Absolutely.
I was just having a sausage.
Yay!
Of course you were.
Of course you were. We just had Sophie Anderson on before you, and she was talking about having an afternoon with her dildo, so.
Oh. Same.
How... dildo to sausage. How you been, my love?
Good, how are you?
Really good. Senior, you've got some eye makeup inspired by the Vivian today, I saw.
Correct, I do. I've loved the Vivian's eye makeup for a while, and it popped up, and I was like, oh, I'm wearing pink and green today. So here I am.
Where are you calling us from, Courtney? Where is home?
I'm in London, in East London.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're not far from me then. So how have the last few months been for you, Courtney?
Good. I was in Los Angeles for the first 3 months of lockdown, and then I got to London, I guess about a month and a bit ago, and I've been writing a book, which is like, not to make the whole global pandemic about me, but if you were ever going to choose to write a book to be locked indoors during the summer, do it when everyone else is locked indoors and they can't go outside and they're probably having less fun than you are.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
What would you say the difference was, Colt, when you was out in LA and then you come to London? Has there been a big difference with the pandemic compared to the States and over here in the UK?
There has. And you know what it is? My armpit. Oh, you know what? It's lucky that you can't smell me through this. You know what has happened during the pandemic? I never used to smell. 38 years, never smelt a day in my life. Now, I kind of enjoy it. I'm a bit like, oh, yeah. There's a man in the room. I'm like, oh, tear my clothes off. Oh, wait, it's me. Oh, it's me. The biggest difference, I was in Los Angeles, which is obviously not Philadelphia, where they stand on the steps of the Capitol with semi-automatic weapons, saying that they need haircuts. And it was the clearness of the messaging that the UK just does not seem to have. In the US, you'd follow the mayor of LA on Twitter, or you would, you know, follow the governor of California, or you would watch the television, like whatever it was, they would say, tomorrow, when you go outside, you have to wear a mask. And so tomorrow you would wear your mask. And they were like, it shouldn't be a hospital grade mask. It shouldn't be a surgical mask. It should just be a bit of fabric that when you tie it around your head, you can breathe through. You can make it yourself. They had cute little tutorials that you can make it at home with like a tube sock and a pair of pantyhose. Also doubles as a tucking G-string if you're
perfect.
And everybody just seemed to do it. Whereas here, Boris is like, well, in a couple of weeks, you're going to have to do something. And you're just like, just can tell me to do it tomorrow. Don't tell me in 2 weeks I might have to do something. Just.
He's a bumbler.
No one here. I don't know. Maybe it's just like East London. In the US, everybody wore a mask. Everybody who cared about being a good human, which is the people who saw themselves that way, which is like the Democrats and the progressives, everyone wore a mask. And it was only the conservatives who didn't wear masks because they were narcissistic and self-righteous. Yeah. Whereas in the UK, no one in East London's wearing a mask. And I assume that the majority of them are progressive because they're like younger East London types. Mm. And so it's just interesting to see how that dynamic is different here as well.
I actually agree with you. Yeah. I mean, it's like still I can go to the little Tesco near me and there's no one in there wearing a mask apart from me. So,
And there's a security man at the door who checks your bag. He should be saying, nah, you can't come in. You don't have a mask, you prick.
Well, I think that's going to happen probably from, well, this week, isn't it? When it's... Yeah, exactly.
The pandemic's
been
raging for 4 months, Boris.
Yeah.
4 months.
You tell him. You should get on the front of the thing with a semi-automatic weapon and tell everyone to be wearing a mask. They'd listen to you, Courtney.
I'll just take my tofurkey sausage. It's fine.
Good girl.
So, you listen here.
Moving forward, Courtney, obviously with the tour and everything, have you had to change things now to apply with kind of guidelines? Is it going to affect the tour, all of this?
Well, the tour's not till April 2021. So, like, we could all be dead by then, let's face it.
Woo!
So, I mean, look, that's one of the preferred options at the moment, which is I was in LA and I was sitting on a friend's roof and there was like an explosion. I was like, oh my God, it's the aliens, they've come! And I was genuinely so excited at the thought that aliens were coming to like save us all. And then I was really disappointed when it was just like a power substation exploding.
Normal life.
Yeah. But the tour isn't for 9 months, so like who knows what will be happening by then. But the theory is that you probably don't have anything in your calendar from now until eternity. So this is like something in your calendar, in the future, the foreseeable future, to look forward to and to get excited about, so that in 9 months' time, hopefully you'll be able to come out to the theatre and see my show.
I've actually weirdly got two gigs lined. Like, I've got a gig booked in December that I'm going to. I think that might be too early. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Oh, no.
Then I booked the Sophie Ellis Bextor in May, which is going to be
that's a cute. I feel like I'm smoking a doob. With a pair of tweezers.
Feel free, no one would judge. tell us a little bit, we haven't got much longer with you, tell us a little bit about your single.
So I have a little bit of an EP, which is three tracks from my live show, because like the live show, one of the selling points, depends on how you look at it, is I wrote all of the music myself. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think like, you know, like when someone says, oh, do you make your clothes yourself? Oh, it shows. So I was like, oh, maybe saying I wrote the songs myself isn't a selling point. And so I thought I should put some of the music that's in the show on streaming services so people can hear it and be like, oh no, I like that. I want to go and see that. Or that shit, I don't want to see that show. Like either way, forearmed is forewarned. So there's the first song on the EP is called One Tonight, which I think is my favorite song I've written and recorded. And then there's Heteroflexible, which is a song about having sexual relations with straight identifying men who...
Okay. Your lucky thing.
Look, there's got to be some perks, right? The gays are too self-loathing of their femininity, so I've got to seek...
Find it where you can.
Get it. Yeah.
So there's that one, and then there's one more.
And then the last one is called Fluid, which is the title track, which is just a fun little pop track. But then I'll be releasing the full album and music later in the year, and then hopefully when people come and see it in April, they'll just, you know, be singing along in their heads.
Oh yes, yes.
To you, people of the north.
Why? What's happened in the north?
Oh, yeah, they're wonderful audiences, but they get a bit audible. Like you give them an inch and they take a mile. And right. If they know the words, then it'll turn into like Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba and everyone will be like, Heteroflexible!
And you can't be shouting at the moment, can you? Because you'll be spreading your coronavirus all over the place.
Yeah, but it's in April. We'll be fine by then. They'll have a cure.
Hopefully Miss Rona's gone by then. Ain't we meant to be getting an injection by Christmas, someone said?
Yeah.
Fingers crossed, babe.
Christmas injection.
Bright presents for everyone. Yeah. well, Courtney, sorry, go on.
And also I read today that, my sausage is repeating on me. I read today there's like options like breathalyzers, like when you get pulled over by the police. Do they have that here, random breath tests?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one option for going into spaces that you have to do a breath test. And
mandatory.
Also there's like a instant sort of like a pregnancy test. You don't have to piss on it though. I think you have to prick your finger. So I'd rather imagine just piss here.
Oh. Go to the piss pot so you can come into the well, Courtney, we're gonna play out to your single. So if you could just introduce it.
Well, this is my new song. It's called One Tonight, and it's from my show Fluid. So if you like it, then go to courtneyact.com/fluid to book tickets to the show in April.
A little broken, there's no quick fix for where we're going. It's hard to look each other in the eye, 'cause we know every other word is just a lie we tell ourselves. It's easier to give up than to try, but know that if you're falling, you can fly. We all pick a side, but our memories rhyme. We're looking to find that one thing, one thing. If the It might sound crazy, but I feel like we are one tonight. Take my hand, we'll shake the world together, you and I. We're not hopeless, we're just stuck here in this moment. But know that if you're falling, you'll fly. We all make a sign, let our memories rhyme. We're looking to find that one thing. If the one thing you see is a different in me, then you're looking at the one thing. You might sound crazy, but I feel like we change the way that you look at the things you look at. Change what I'm saying to you. Find the fluid in you. Let it go and be fluid tonight. And you.
Looked a lovely sausage she had, didn't it?
A lovely tofurkey sausage. I would yeah. Kill for one right now.
It's a big old one as well, isn't it?
Don't know what I'm getting for my dinner tonight on my little trip around my friends. So we'll find out once we've finished our interview here, because we've got Chloe Ferry ready to come in.
Amazing.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us?
I can hear you, Chloe. How are you doing, Chloe? So good to see you.
I'm great. How are you?
Really good. What's been going on the last few months for you?
What, the last few months?
Yeah. What have you been doing during the lockdown?
We've been in isolation, but we've been locked in. It's nothing much.
But you must have been doing something with your time.
Well, I've been training. I've been, you know what, right? At the start of lockdown, I was in a bit of a bad place. Like, I wasn't happy the way I looked. I wasn't happy with myself. And obviously, I was newly out of a relationship. So I was thinking, for God's sake, I'm still, like, a bit hurt from my last relationship. And I'm going to be locked indoors now, so I can't even date. So I just totally changed my mindset. And I started training, and I started feeling like good within myself. And I thought, you know what, I know what I want in my life now. I know what path I want to go down. So I've actually had like a good lockdown, to be honest.
I've got to ask you, Chloe. So obviously I hear that you're doing the new series of like the virtual Celebs Go Dating, yeah?
Yeah.
And that you're going to be dating men as well as women. Tell me about this. So are you into this?
So obviously like... I've obviously prefer men, like I'm more into men. But like the last couple of months, I'm obviously like, I was in Thailand, and I was looking at girls in a bit of a different way. I've looked at them and I thought, fucking hell, you are so fit. You are so fit. I can imagine kissing you. So obviously I just thought, you know what? It's new for us. I may as well try it. Like, I'd rather know than not find out. Like, nothing might come of it, but I'd rather know, like, it's new experience, it's fun, you know what I mean?
Have you ever been with a girl, Chloe?
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the way?
Well, I didn't know what I was doing, to be honest.
I'm pretty sure, wasn't this on Geordie Shore? I'm pretty sure it was, wasn't it?
Probably.
I mean, yeah, but are you going to find the virtual thing a bit weird, do you think, doing the virtual dating and all of that?
So it was obviously different, because obviously normally when, like, the main thing was, like, when you go and hug someone, like, you say, oh, hi, nice to meet you, you weren't allowed to do that, you were a meter apart. At one point, I couldn't even hear what he was saying. Like, I was like, well, sorry, say that again, to that far fucking part.
So it takes a bit of getting used to.
Yeah.
So can you give us any secrets, any spoilers? Have you found the one? Is there any potential?
You know what? I haven't found the one. I do have some good dates though, where I thought, God, you actually are an amazing person. But it was just, obviously, it was the first person that I dated with my ex-boyfriend, so it was really nerve-wracking for us. And you know when you go on the first date, I was with my ex-boyfriend then for years. So I just thought, God, like, it's going to be, but it's like open a can of worms now, so I'm just ready to date the world, ready to date everyone.
And I'm sure they're all ready to date you as well, because you've been like Bobby said, you've been focusing hard on the way you look and things, haven't you? So is it right that you've lost 2 stone?
I've lost 2 stone. Don't get us wrong, like, sometimes I feel good, sometimes I don't, like, sometimes I don't even feel good.
In what way?
I don't know, like some days I feel, God, I look mint. But then some days I'm like, oh, I still don't feel good. I don't know, I think I beat myself up a little bit about it.
That's a tough one, though, because if you're doing all you can, I know. Is it because, do you get trolled and stuff? Because this is something Bobby's been experiencing recently.
Oh, yeah, I still get trolled. I put a photo today and I still got trolled. I thought I looked good in the photo, but I just think it might be because, like, obviously, you know me, I get a lot of hate on social media about the way I look. God, since day one I have. And it's hard, you know, like, you're not brought into a world to, like, put up with that much abuse. And then for the people to say, well, you're in public eye, you should expect it. Are you actually that small-minded that you should, that I should be accepting people to call me ugly on a daily basis? It's just not right. I just think when I've been called fat so many times, I think it sticks with you, and you sometimes I don't feel like I look good. Don't get us wrong. Some days I feel like fucking Kim Kardashian. But, like, some days I feel like fucking Donald Trump.
Definitely two ends of the spectrum.
When you're getting trolled, Chloe, is it predominantly about the way you look or your weight?
Yeah,
or is it anything
always about the way I look. Always about the way I look.
And how do you deal with it? What's your response to it? Because it can hurt. And I think a lot of people think that it doesn't, and they think, oh, you've signed up for it. Like you've just said, they think we signed up to it. But
of course, it hurts. Like, then, I'm only human, and there's a lot of people out there who get it. And I just think, like, it's just, why do people actually physically do it? I couldn't think of anything worse than logging online and trolling someone about the way they look. I would not want to make someone feel bad. Like, people don't understand the effect that it has on people. Like, people don't know what I've been through. Like, I keep, like, it's secret to myself, but honestly, it caused me so much shit. I still feel shit about it today. Like, obviously, I just say the comments now, so I've learned to deal with, like, I know it's sick, but I've kind of learned to deal with the hate. Like, I just scroll past it. Mm. It's like, how hasn't this come to an end yet? Like, why are people still there? I posted a photo a day and I'm still getting abuse.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, we've been talking about this with Bob earlier. There's kind of no solution, is there? Because it's like, you either leave the platform, or Instagram won't deal with it. So it's like, you have to work out what you want
it's
to do.
It's a shame, isn't it, really? Because some, like, people who are getting grief, like, I'm thick-skinned, but there'll be someone out there who's not.
But do you think it's those trolls that convince you to change yourself in the first place? Or was that just something you wanted to do for yourself?
Yeah, it is. Because when I first got on Geordie Shore and stuff, I thought I had the most amazing boobs, right? Like, I was, like, so, like, I was such a confident young girl. And I can remember one time, I'll never ever forget the day, I had a low-cut top on, like a low-cut like that. And someone had said to us, your boobs look so saggy. And I thought, and I never even thought about it. And so the more I started looking at myself, I thought, you're fucking right. You are right. My tits are saggy. And for a 19-year-old, girl, that's not good.
No.
So then obviously I turned to surgery and got an uplift. And I just, like, still wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. But people don't understand the consequences when they're saying stuff, how it can affect you mentally. Mm. And no one knows like really what someone's going through. Social media can be quite fake. You're never going to wake up on a daily basis and go and like know you're upset, and you're not going to post it on social media. Social media is all happy, isn't it?
Mm.
So you just never, ever, ever know what anyone's really going through.
Mm.
Yeah, this is what people need to definitely think before they kind of type, because words do hurt, and words can be dangerous. And as we've seen, words can heal, you know?
Well, look at Caroline Flack and the people that have been on Love Island and that. It's you know, it's you've got a, you have a very thick skin, so it's good that you do, Chloe, because it, and to be honest, you look great to me. So I don't know what the deal is. Like,
yeah, you do. And any man or woman will be lucky to have you.
Exactly, exactly.
And if you get yourself a girlfriend, we're going Gay Pride together next year. I'll get you your first rainbow flag.
She doesn't even need, it doesn't even need to have a girlfriend. She can come anyway.
She can come, but she'll have it more of a girlfriend on the float. She'll have a lovely time.
Well, Chloe, thanks so much for speaking to us this evening. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And
yeah,
really good. And stay strong, because you're a beautiful girl, and it's important that you realise that, I think.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Take care, Chloe.
Bye, Mike.
Bye. She's I think the problem is with a lot of, you've been through it, you know, on these reality shows, people think that you are a fair game, I think, sometimes, don't they? And even if you do want to change yourself, it's really nobody else's business, you know. If you can afford to do it and you want to, then why not?
Completely. And I think the thing with surgery or with anything like that, same if someone wants to change their hair, if you're doing it for you and you're not feeling there's a pressure to do it, or you're doing it to please someone else, go and do what you want to do. If you want to cut your hair, cut your... Like, I'm all for, as long as you're living your best life while we're here. Do you know what? Life is hard enough sometimes. So,
yeah.
Do you know what? Enjoy it.
Bloody well enjoy it.
This is why I love doing this show. I mean, look at the guests we get. We've had the incredible Sophie. Loved that chat. We've had Courtney act with her sausage. Go. I mean, you don't expect that every week. And then
certainly
the lovely Chloe Ferry, who's going to be taking part in the brand new series of Celebs Virtual Dating, which airs on Monday the 27th of July at 10 p.m. over on E4, which I cannot wait to tune in and see.
I will be tuning in on my holiday. Exciting times.
Text me what you think.
Oh, yeah, well,
I want to see who she's starting with. I want to see her date her first girl. It's going to be gold. It's going
to
be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Virtual, because it does kind of change the element of dating.
Have you done Celebs Go Dating before?
Yeah, I did season 3.
Yeah, yeah. How did that go?
Joe, I really enjoyed it. I was like the first gay guy to ever do the show.
So I remember,
It was a really nice... It was back when we had the original guru, so it was Nadia and Eden. And, I mean, it's a really scary thing, because I think a lot of people think... I don't know if it's just about me or people who are on telly in general, think that you're all overly confident. Now, I am when it comes to things like this. I can see I can do live TV, live radio, anything like that. But to go up to a guy in a bar and go, can I get you a gin and tonic? That, to me, is the most...
Oh, my God, the fear of rejection. I can't handle it.
Do you know what I mean? Woo-hoo! Telly any day over asking someone if they want a gin. So, it kind of was a bit scary. And I had a few little dates that was a little bit kind of, what shall we say...
Memorable.
It would help if I could remember the word memorable. Yeah, a couple of blind dates. Guy pulled out a 9-inch cucumber and wanted me to put a condom on it, as you do at the dinner table in a posh Chinese restaurant. Silly me, sat there putting it on.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And he told me off because I didn't check the best before date on the packet before I opened it.
This is not a way to romantically entice someone. I'll just put that out there.
There wasn't a date, so...
Right, well, good to know. You're happy now, that's all that matters.
Absolutely, and it was a fun experience to do, and he was a lovely guy, but, it weren't for me.
Not one to repeat, fair enough.
Nah.
I am on holiday next week, which is, I think, the first time since April that I won't have done the show. So I figure you'll be having a little guest presenter in my place, Bobby, which is great. So good luck with the show while I'm off.
Thank you, babes. You have a lovely holiday as well. You deserve it, babes.
Eastbourne's not going to know what's hit it, I tell you. That Wetherspoons in Eastbourne.
Well, I hope the weather stays nice for you.
The forecast is looking good. So I've got me and my nephews are going to do a barbecue on the beach, and we're going to go swimming, and we're going to do loads of nice things. So it's going to be hopefully a good couple of days. So
fingers
crossed. Yeah,
you enjoy it, and I'll see you when you get back, Mister.
Yeah, definitely, and thanks so much for helping out next week while I'm off.
No worries at all.
But I will see everyone in a fortnight, and until then, goodbye. I guess.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
Goodbye.